Welcome to another episode of the Politatine Podcast. You are currently listening to the one-hour segment of our podcast. To listen and watch the full conversation, head over to politatine.com and click the Watch tab in the top right. If that's not your thing, we appreciate you and hope that you enjoy the episode. Or not, everybody.
Now we're rolling. Go ahead.
Okay, hello everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Politatine Podcast. Butchered intro, first time in a while, but I'm here joined with my wonderful co-host, Varun.
Hey guys, my name is Varun Katathala. I'm the co-host of the Politatine Podcast, back for another amazing episode of Politatine with Damien. We've been off for, I don't want to keep saying this, but 2 weeks now, and we have our next episode coming out. I believe it's on Friday, Damien. This is going to be out to you guys on Monday. We have an amazing guest on our podcast today, Will Carroll, our conservative correspondent on the podcast. Glad to have you on, Will. We haven't had you on in a long time, but if you want to give a quick introduction to yourself and your role in the podcast, please go ahead.
Yeah, guys, it's been a hot minute since I've been on. I'm not entirely sure what all we're going to talk about today. I know we have a lot going on, but I mentioned a couple things. But yeah, I think January or February was the last time I came on, and I am excited to talk about whatever we're going to be ended up talking about today. I know we have a lot. There's something I want to mention that's not really politics related in a second, but I want to get our whole intro in and all that.
Yeah, but, you know what?
Yeah,
talk about it, man. Yeah, how's life? Yeah.
How's it going?
Yeah, well, I don't know how familiar you guys are with like mainstream hip hop, but I just want to mention something. Polo G put out a song, Rap Star. I really enjoyed it, not only because it's an excellent song, but because it, if you really listen to the lyrics, it talks about like, it's not all just like traditional rap. It's like, you know, traditional rap being like, you know, guns and violence and intercourse with women. It's like, he talks about like anxiety and mental health issues, and it's not like in a depressing, like Lil Peep type way. No hate to Lil Peep, but he's dead. But anyway, I just wanted to.
That's not funny, Damien. Don't laugh at that, man.
I'm not laughing, man.
Don't laugh at that, Damien.
I was thinking about something else, maybe.
All right, finish your thought, Will.
Yeah, go for it.
But yeah. I think it's great to see a lot of a lot of mainstream hip hop artists that inspire a lot of delinquent teenagers such as myself talking about their like mental health issues. So
yeah, I think it's become more non-politics.
Yeah,
I think it's become more. I mean, I guess like technically everything's political because I guess mental health issues are like a big part of politics. But I think that it's become more common. And I think it recently has become more common. Like I always think about 1-800, like the, you know, the Logic song. And you know, that I think that was like the first time that someone like really like that song, the whole point of that song was talking about mental health. And then you had DaBaby whose older or little brother killed themselves. I don't know if you guys knew that. And I remember that he had a freestyle about you know his brother taking his own life and how it shouldn't have been that way. Joyner Lucas also had a song about suicide with I'm Sorry. There's a lot of artists talking about this stuff, and it's very interesting for Polo G in specific to be talking about it because of the fact that he's so like you know gang involved, and that you know that puts like a target on his back. But I feel like even within communities like beyond mainstream music, it's become like a talking point that's more acceptable, like to be like, oh, I have this mental health problem, I have that mental health problem. I'm talking about it with my friends like more and more openly, like everyone, you know, with like the whole quarantine stuff, everyone's like, oh, I'm struggling with this, I'm struggling with that, and like it's almost like every single conversation is kind of like a like an AA meeting on a I'm having anxiety about this, I'm having, you know, some depression about that. And I think it's good. I think that it's good that artists talk about it in specific because it kind of like opens the door for more people to talk about it. But yeah, no, last episode was Lil Nas X. This episode is Polo G. Good transitions. Yeah. We're going to become Polita Rap pretty soon. We're just going to talk about mainstream rap.
Yeah. I mean, I think that people like, you know, Polo G talking about mental health disorders makes it more mainstream and okay to talk about for a lot of people who really have these conditions but are scared to talk about them. And I think that everybody has some kind of anxiety, some kind of mental health issues. They've had it at one point in their lives. And I think really people are coming out now and talking about them more. Because before it was like you're hiding these things and they're not accepted in classrooms and in friend groups. But now it's like everybody has these inbuilt just problems and things that they have to deal with on a daily basis. And facing your demons has become something that is, I guess, quote unquote, mainstream. Yeah. You also see, I mean, I saw a news article a couple of days ago on CNN about, you know, isolation disorders during COVID and how like there's a certain isolation being permeating throughout COVID. That's not going to stop once we get the vaccines and once, you know, everybody's vaccinated. It's going to continue. And so now it's like the question is like, how do you curb that isolation disorder and how do you return people back to like normal social conversations? Because for a lot of people, like, you know, a lot of my friends, we haven't been outside, right? They haven't been outside for like 6-7 months, for some even a year. Mm-hmm. And that's going to cause inbuilt. Yeah, it's Damien right there, right? He's been holed up inside for a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm certain that that's probably caused some kind of an issue in terms of like, you know, not socializing, but, you know, coming to terms with a life outside of COVID, which is now what we're kind of going into after vaccinations.
Yeah, I'm a little lucky because I'm a type A personality. So like I've been fine with and without it. And I'm a pretty, I think Rune knows as well, I'm extremely adaptable. Like you can just kind of put me in any environment and I'll be like, okay, I guess I'll just figure this out somehow. But no, I definitely get what you're talking about, but it's nice. I've been out, like, I'm not going to lie. I'm vaccinated and I've been out a lot more. I'm getting my second dose tomorrow morning at 10:45. If you guys, I'm just going to dox it. I'm just going to be like 10:45, this CVS. I'm going to be getting my second dose. Here's my social security number if you guys want it to. But no, yeah, I'm going to be getting my second dose tomorrow. And I've been going out like what the past, you know what? I guess since this is Politateen, we should just like also talk about the teen part of Polita, Politateen.
Yeah.
Guys, I got my license suspended.
What?
Yeah.
What were you doing? What the? Yeah. What were you doing?
So, why? So I was going on a trip, right, to Alabama to pick up
London. Come here. Come here.
Okay. Well, she's chewing her toy right now. Maybe we can see her if I.
I was. If you guys want to see Jamie and his dog? Go on the YouTube and watch our video version of the podcast.
There you go. And you can see my dog.
You're missing out if you're just listening.
Exactly. Right. Well, we were going to pick her up and I was driving at night. My dad was like, you know what? It's some good experience. So we were driving through, Alabama. I think we were in Tuscaloosa. It must've been Tuscaloosa. Yeah, it was Tuscaloosa, I think. And we were driving through it, which is like 4 or 5 hours away. And, I'm driving, I'm following like all the cars, you know, it's like 10:45 at night. And then out of nowhere, a cop comes out behind me, pulls me over, and he's like, you're in a construction zone and you're going 70. And the speed limit's 65 on a highway, but it's 45 in a construction zone. So I was going 30 over, according to him, because he marked me down at 75. And then it was in a construction zone. And this guy was like not playing around because it was at the end of the month and he had to meet his quota. So he just gave me the ticket, which quotas suck. And it definitely, he definitely did not leave a good taste in my mouth about the police. It was
cab.
I will admit, though, it was an African-American officer. So felt a little bad. I was like, come on, we're supposed to be the same team, man. And he still gave me a ticket, but he gave me no workers in the construction zone because it was like 10:45 at night. But yeah, so I got my license and then, and I paid the ticket and I was like, I kept telling my dad, I was like, we got to get a lawyer, like just over there to just fight the ticket, get it reduced or whatever. He's like, no. And so either way, got my license suspended for 6 months. And I was like, man, this is going to be a pain. Yeah. 6 months, right? Isn't that ridiculous? Yeah. That's so silly. And you know what's funny? Once it comes back, I can drive with like three people in my car. And I'm like, dumb. Yeah. Because the whole point of like the, if you guys don't know, with like, if you live in other states with Joshua's Law, in Georgia, you have to wait 6 months before you can have anyone else in your car driving with you. That's not a family member. But I got it suspended for 6 months. So I will be able to ride with anyone with like in the car, which doesn't make any sense because I wouldn't have had the 6 months of practice, which is the whole point of it. But either way. So what I've had to do recently is ask friends to like come and pick me up, which I had never done before. And like with COVID and everything, it was like, I was like, oh, my parents are definitely not going to let me do this. Nonetheless, the past 5 days, I've been out five times every day. No, six times. I went out twice yesterday. Julia, our research director, picked me up in the morning and we went to go get breakfast. And then
What's up? All right. Without revealing to everyone, Julia lives in like my neighborhood. How far did she have to drive to you?
You want to know something funny?
Yeah,
she drove. So I was like, please come pick me up. Like, I'm really bored and I want to eat. So we went. She was like, man, that's a far drive. So she drove 25 minutes.
She's not wrong.
She drove like 25 minutes to come and pick me up.
Dude.
And then and then we drove like 25 minutes towards her house. Right. Because you live closer to the south end of the county. No. You live towards the north end. Don't you?
I live by Gwinnett, like right by Gwinnett.
Okay. Well, nonetheless, we drive to the collection. I guess we can like dox this area a little bit. I mean, everyone already knows that we live, which county we live in, but we go to the collection and we go to Grub. Right. So Julia's driven about like 40 minutes just to come and pick me up so that we could get breakfast and whatnot. I mean, it wasn't breakfast. It was like 12. So we go to Grub so we can get burgers.
Right.
And we're in line. And I'm like, you know what? This is so bad. Really, you know what? She drove me. I'm going to pay for her lunch.
That was going to be my next question was, did you pay for her lunch?
Yeah. I was like, you know what? She drove me. So she like stood behind. She thought we were going to pay separately. I was like, come here. Come on. Don't be silly. I'll pay for you. I swipe my card. Declined.
Oh my God. I was expecting it,
No. So she had to pay for my lunch and drive me.
Holy crap.
And drive me.
Julia's getting a raise on her non-existent salary.
But I told her that I would make it up to her. So afterwards, we walked to Barnes & Noble and I let her get a book. And while we were, I let
how
her get a book.
How did you pay for it?
Because I transferred $100 into my account.
So why couldn't you do that at Grub?
Yeah.
Because we were already in line and there was people behind us.
Okay, just be like,
and I wasn't
ahead.
Sure how long the transfer was going to take. So I was like, while we're eating, the money transfers over to my account. And so I'm like, okay, listen, we're going to go to Barnes & Noble and we're going to get you a book. And she got a book and the book was like $13. So it all evened out. We're good. It all evened out.
Grub is expensive.
That is expensive.
Yeah.
Grub? But no, Grub's it was gas right now, too.
You want to know the most embarrassing part? What? I got a shake, too. So I didn't just get the meal.
Oh, a burger and a shake?
Yeah, I got a burger and a shake.
You're telling me you made this poor girl pay for your $16 burger and a $3 like shake. No, I bet you got the large, Damien. I bet you got a large shake.
I didn't get the large.
No, you didn't get the large. Okay, what?
No, I got
$3 shake. Don't worry, he's cutting. Got to remember that.
I'm cutting. Come on. I'm starting 75 day hard tomorrow. But either way, so I'm almost done with my story. So we walk in.
Almost done. Okay.
We walk into the collection. Nothing from here on is embarrassing.
Okay.
But we walk into Barnes & Noble. She got a $13 book though. So it did even out. Because our meal was $24. Our meal was $24. Listen, but the difference is that book is going to teach her something.
What book was it?
I don't remember, guys.
Then how is it going to teach her something, bro?
I don't. No, hold on. There's two more funny parts to this story. So she got her book, and while she was there, there was a book like on current events, right? And I pick up this book, and it's called 13 and a Half Reasons Why Not to Be Liberal. And I'm like, Julia, I'm going to look through the table of contents, and I'm going to count how many racist things I can find in this, like just in the table of contents. I was like, this is going to be... Yeah, no, it was 13 and a half reasons why. and so the second reason is like, I can't remember it, but it's racist. The second reason is like blatantly racist. I was like, oh my God, this is terrible. It wasn't too bad. It was like a dog whistle, right? And I was like, okay, this isn't too bad. And then I get to about like the sixth chapter in the book. We'll take a guess at what the sixth chapter's titled, and then Varun take a guess.
Give me context of like a non-racist one.
Yeah.
Give
an example of one of the things that like was on there.
What are like? Give me like an example of like one of the not non-racist or just another chapter title that you didn't agree with. Because like I don't know if it's like a one-word chapter title or like a phrase.
I'll look at the table of contents for the book now.
I'm gonna need some context to guess out of the blue, man. Seriously.
Hold on. Let me.
I could guess one word, or I could guess like.
Let me look at the table of contents.
I have an idea, huh?
Well, you know, as a racist myself, you know, I have a lot of ideas.
I mean, I have an idea. I was going to guess cancel culture, like how you're going to get canceled.
No, that's not bad. No. That's not bad. That's not.
That
even
wasn't.
Bad.
That wasn't. Okay.
No,
that's pretty common
bad.
Right now.
Where is this? But. Where is this? I'm trying to find. Sorry, I'm trying to find the.
Who's the author?
I'm trying to find the author is Judd Dunning and Eric Glob.
Oh,
who no and what? I don't know.
Okay, yeah. Either way, I cannot find the table of contents apparently for this book. But
let's just say it's chapter six is. I don't know, something about being black. It's got to be something about being black.
No. Chapter 6 is titled, and I quote, "Jews and Christians do not blow up airplanes."
Wait a second. Wait. Wait, bro, that's a book?
That's a book.
Like a real book. Noble.
Yeah.
Jews and Christians don't blow up airplanes?
It's chapter 6 in that book.
Dude, what the fuck? I'm sorry.
Yeah. It was oh Jews God. And Christians. And then you want to know what the half was? The 13, the half part of 13. It was a chapter titled "The George Floyd Riots." So this book is not old.
Oh, so it's like, oh damn, it's not like one of those.
No, and I was expecting this to be somewhere within the book, correct? Like, okay, right. There's obviously going to be something this racist within the book. This was 3 pages into the book. Like, this was in the table of contents. Like, this is a chapter title. It's just Jews and Christians do not blow up airplanes.
Dude, speaking of Jews, I was reading about discrimination against Jewish people, anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
And apparently the origins were in this little manifesto called the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. Mm-hmm. I don't know if y'all have heard of that, but it was like a fabricated book that people made in Germany that basically said that Jews congregated in some place in like Europe, and they had a plot to take over the entire world.
Well, and there's like more stem behind that. Well, that's just for the German aspect of it. Like right. That's for the race war about.
And kind of the reason why they were so discriminated against was because in the beginning of like the 1500s, 1600s, these people were basically, Jews were for the most part intermediaries between like merchants and their suppliers. Mm. And so suppliers thought the Jews were like overcharging them for their products. And so basically it was like they're swindling them. And so that's where it came from. And then you had them coming, being emancipated in places like France, and you had books like the Protocols of the Elders of Zion coming out to support these anti-Semitic ideas. And then like come World War I, you had this idea that Jews were backstabbing Germans and that they negotiated the peace treaty that basically, you know, crumbled Germany in the Treaty of Versailles. And so these things were all like building upon one another, and they culminated in what Hitler did, the Holocaust. Yeah. And so, like, speaking of Jews, I've learned so much about anti-Semitism and how it's not just, like, them being mad at them being bankers. It's about fabricated lies continuously repeated by people like Wilhelm Marr or whatever his name was, the founder of anti-Semitism.
That's the reason behind, like, the race war aspect of anti-Semitism.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like real anti-Semitism stems back to, like, literally, like, the creation of Jews. Like, I mean...
Oh, yeah, Bible, yeah, yeah, like, yeah, for sure.
It's literally the fact that they got taken out of the promised land. Like, that's literally the beginning of anti-Semitism. But
you had the idea that, like, Jews are not just, like, a religion. It's, like, a race.
Yeah,
like
it's an ethnicity. Yeah, it's an ethnicity.
I think it's a race. Judaism's a... it's a religion,
Carlson?
Sorry. Yeah.
Did you see the Tucker Carlson thing?
Which Tucker Carlson thing?
Where, like, he essentially recited the 14 words, like, on television.
Really?
Yeah. Like, he just went for it. It was, like, the other night. You guys know what the race cleansing, or not race cleansing, what's it called? What's the...
Ethnic cleansing?
No.
Genocide?
The great, what's the thing that they did? 1944, Adolf Hitler did it with the Jews, the great
Holocaust?
When the Holocaust became about literally just trying to kill every Jew.
It might have been ethnic cleansing.
It was called the Great Extermination. That's what it was. Great Extermination. The extermination. Yeah,
I'm following.
So the Great Extermination has now been taken by like white supremacist groups. And basically like the idea, I don't know if you guys even know what the 14 words are. I just kind of like threw that out there.
No.
Well, the 14 words is basically like this idea that that it's again, it's at Jews because literally every goddamn like theory, every what's it called, every conspiracy theory, like just has Jews tied up in it somewhere. Like it is not. I don't know if you guys know, like flat Earth theory. Like, like a big part of it is that they're pointing lasers. About that one. They like point lasers at the Earth.
Didn't Marjorie Taylor Greene say what MTG said about that?
Yes. Yeah.
And she caught flack for it. I mean, she's getting like her position almost rescinded.
But what? So basically, the idea is that Jews are trying to get rid of white people by like. You know, the
Jews
one
are
drop.
White people. They are. Yeah,
no,
they're white people.
Yeah, no, no. Here's the problem, okay?
They are.
Before
people.
You continue, people oftentimes well, think of Jews as like an ethnic caste, but they're a religion. I mean, Judaism's a religion. Mm-hmm. It's like saying Christianity is like an ethnic caste or a race. It's not. You have Christians who are African. You have Christians who are, you know, Caucasian. It's not an ethnic system. Yeah. And so that's what they use basically in Germany to discriminate against Jews, saying that basically Germans versus Jews is this eternal conflict that only would end in one of these different ethnicities triumphing over the other. But continue.
Yeah, well, either way, what the 14 words recite is that basically like Jews are trying to get rid of white people by you. Again, it has to do with the one drop rule, which is like if you have one drop of blood that's not perfectly white, then you're considered black. That's why Obama's considered the first black president, even though he's literally half white, which a lot of people surprisingly do not know. Like he was raised by a white woman. Like he's not the first black president. He's the first mixed president. We still haven't had like a black president, at least by my standards, I think by many people's standards. But the one drop rule basically applies. And so what the idea is that they're going to like try to get immigration and try to get people to intermingle and try to like get the races to merge so that white people don't have power anymore. Like that's what Jews are trying to do. So what Tucker Carlson was saying the other night on his show was that the Democratic, agenda is to allow immigration to come in and that they're trying to get as many immigrants in as possible so that they can infiltrate. Like he was verbatim saying this so that they can infiltrate white communities and so that white people become the minority because, quote, the Democratic Party doesn't care about policy anymore. They just care about basically like getting rid of white people so that they can win, which is literally like the 14 words and what Nazis believe. Like that is the whole idea behind
the problem
Nazis.
Is, I mean, the Democratic president is a white person. They're not like a whole different, you know, racial caste. It's weird. I mean, if he's referring to Democrats being against white people, that's just not true.
No, no, it's not. But it's he was race calling.
That is race calling.
I don't get what the issue is. Like we've had like 45 white presidents and one interracial, like one mixed one, president, like
5.5
and nothing. Yeah, yeah. Those are my 45 and a half reasons why. What's the issue? Like I'd love for my communities to be more diversified. I mean, there's a reason that I don't know anything about African American culture because I live in Lee County, Georgia. We live in, and I'm blessed to be in an area where I have like so many Asian and Indian friends and all that, and I just don't have any. I have like one or two black friends that I've like met, and I like I'm only like kind of close with like one of them, and I only see him like once or twice a week, and that's just how it is. Like I just, what's the issue? And if I don't get, like, how is Tucker Carlson like complaining about how, like, you know, a lot of the things that like people like him like to complain about is Democrats want to give the minorities all this. Well, then if white people become the minority, wouldn't we get some free shit? Like I'm okay with that. Like,
right.
Like I don't care. Like
it's the reverse racism idea.
Right. Yeah. But people need to realize that like, so long as like in an election, like your vote matters. We learned this year. Your vote matters. Everyone's vote matters. So long as you vote for someone that feels adequately like that you feel like will adequately protect not just your beliefs but you as an American. Like who gives a damn what color they are, what gender they are, what their sexuality is, or any of that bull crap? Because like you know, I know that I know you. You just look at Joe Biden. Look at him. You know he doesn't like, or not, maybe not like, but he may not like agree with gay people. He said it. Look at Obama. Obama said Hillary. All those people have said that they believe marriage is between a man and a woman. Yada yada. Bull crap. But those people are not going to, like, they're not actively trying to suppress gay people. They're not trying, like, they're going to treat them as Americans. You can disagree with the person, with the person's sexual identity, and still protect them as a human in America.
Right. Exactly.
And that's what a lot of Republicans need to realize. And that's why, like, I'm getting, as a Republican, I'm getting fed up with the Republican Party. Like who? Oh my, it's like the scene, like what's the show, Family Guy, where he goes to, like that, where he goes to the classroom and he's at the show and tell and the kid's showing some bull crap he brings from his home, and Peter goes, oh my god, who the hell cares? Like,
yeah,
who cares?
No, and that's
who cares?
That's the funny thing, because Republicans are always like, Democrats can't shut up about race, they don't stop talking about race, Democrats don't stop talking about race, and it's like, we have not said anything about race. Like, they just don't shut up about the race thing, and it's gotten to like such an irritating point where it's like, man, maybe not everything is about race, guys. Like, like that's what we're trying to say.
Yeah,
it's kind of it's ridiculous. But back to the just to loop this around, back
speaking
to the
about
collection
race.
Story.
Yeah, oh,
speaking
back
about
to the collection
race,
story. Go ahead.
Speaking about, okay, race, because I text. So either way, she picks out her book, right? And we're walking up to the counter to pay for it. And I walk up to this, let me do a good segue here. I walk up to this white old lady, right? Speaking about race, I walk up to this white old lady. She's like, she's a clerk there. And I'm like, do you guys have any pamphlets? And she's like, pamphlets. I'm like, yeah, do you guys have like any pamphlets? And she was like, what in specific are you talking about? I was like, do you guys happen to have like the Communist Manifesto? And she's like, I did it just because Julie was there and I knew that she would get a kick out of it. And she was like, she looked at me and she was like, yeah, we do. And she was like super excited about it. She was like, it's in like the back shelf. And she was like, and she knew exactly where it was. And I was like, let's go. She definitely, you can tell that she was definitely a hippie that went against the Vietnam War.
Oh my God.
She was definitely anti-Vietnam War.
I feel like she was just excited that like, someone who didn't look like, and I'm going to really stereotype here, but that's okay because I'm a white male. But someone who didn't look like they were extremely alternative came in and goes, like with like cat ears on and like,
yeah,
they're like they, them, boyfriend or girlfriend or them friend. What do you call it then? I don't know. That's not what we're talking about. But that's a whole different conversation. If like, I know a guy, he's a straight guy, but he's dating someone who identifies themselves as they, them, does he still call them his girlfriend, or what does he like? What does
their
he call them?
Significant
it's
other.
It's kind of up to the person.
Significant, yeah, other, partner.
Who wants,
yeah,
to be
their
called,
significant,
whatever,
other,
okay,
partner.
Yeah, it's up to, yeah, the person, okay, really.
Ooh, there's a term. I'm sure there's a term for that, though, Will. Like, there has to be like a they friend.
Yeah.
Like, they friend. Friend.
Boyfriend, girlfriend.
That's my
they friend.
Okay. Yeah.
Them friend.
That's actually.
Yeah.
Word?
Can we coin,
yeah,
that?
I think
that's,
can we coin
that,
yeah,
as a friend?
Can we coin that as a politician? A they friend. And then we can make it merch and capitalize on it. I swear I'm the socialist here, guys. We can make it merch and sell it for like $40 a pop.
Oh,
every,
yeah,
every t shirt. The they friend.
My they friend.
My they friend. Yep.
Yeah,
I feel like she was just excited that like someone who didn't look really alternative was asking for the Communist Manifesto, and like that's something she believes. So she sees, yeah, you, and you look like a sensible guy, Damien.
Thank
and
you,
she sees you.
It.
She goes. Oh my God, a normal person.
The movement's,
yeah,
changing.
Yeah,
it's taking,
exactly,
a new face.
You know what? I think that's because I keep getting these indoctrinated messages. I was hanging out with another friend. And I keep getting like, I feel like a big reason that a lot of Republicans hate me, and my friend's dad brought this up. He is libertarian. Everyone's libertarian, by the way. Like, no one's actually libertarian. Yeah. So is Ben Shapiro.
Maybe Will is. I don't know.
I am.
I think Will would.
He actually is.
I would,
he believes
in
everyone.
Everyone who says that they're libertarian, and if you say that you're left lib, you are left lib. If you say that you are libertarian.
Yeah.
or right libertarian, you are right libertarian. Like, there is no in between. There is no, right. I'm just strictly right. libertarian. There is left lib and right lib.
Well, I'd even consider you a left lib, but either way, this, yeah. our conservative correspondent guys left libertarian. But either way, no, funny thing, because he was telling me about how he's libertarian. He's like, I don't think that there should be bathrooms for transgenders. And I was like, what?
That's not a libertarian value.
That's not libertarian. No. And then he was like, he was like, I don't get gay marriage. I was like, well, how are you?
Dude, how are you libertarian?
Yeah.
The whole point is you're like free on social things.
Yeah, exactly.
And on economic things.
He took a political compass test like 18 years ago. And like this is what I am. I'm only voting this way now.
Only voting. Yeah, Green Party.
I take that test every other month.
Right.
Just because my views change so often.
It's good to educate yourself about like who you are politically and like to learn about your party before you become one of the people. Because a lot of times when you're left or right, Democratic or Republican, you don't know exactly what your party supports. All you know is my dad and my friends are Democratic or Republican. You don't understand what you're even standing for. Yeah. Or sometimes it's like about who's supporting the party, which one is the figurehead of the party. You know, I love this guy named Donald Trump and I'm Republican now. Right,
clip it.
No, but it's really like
gotcha.
You have to understand what you're supporting. So don't make that into a fucking audiogram, man. I don't want an audiogram to become
20 years
like
from
that.
Now. 20 no, years from man. Now, Varun's running for president.
Like, yeah,
Varun Kodithala said, "I love this man, Donald Trump. I will now a Republican." Is this
guys,
the man you want in the
don't
Oval
worry.
Office?
I was disillusioned. Look at the whole clip. Don't look at that one segment of my speech. But I mean, anyways, I think talking about race in America, we've apparently what I've seen on some newspapers and clippings. If you guys would stop talking about that for a minute, I can continue in the race discussion. But I saw actually that on every day of the George Floyd trial, three different situations of police brutality and police mm-hmm. killings occurred. A serious topic. And you saw, I have a couple of names written down. The 13-year-old Adam Toledo. We have Dante Wright. And we have Karen Nazario, the army officer who was killed, or not killed, he was pepper sprayed at this like routine traffic stop. I'll talk about that in a minute. But three different situations that were very, very, you know, not invigorating, but they made me mad about the state of race relations in America, especially considering what was going on, you know, just 10 miles from where Dante Wright lived at the courthouse in which, you know, George Floyd's case was being tried. And so it makes me so frustrated that even though we're making steps to, I guess, right the wrongs of what happened before and charge those who duly should be charged, things are continuing to deteriorate across the nation. And we shouldn't stop talking about these issues until we have common sense solutions to both gun control and policing. I think these are really important topics that should be discussed today. But to begin with, you had Dante Wright. Okay. And this is a person that has gained a lot of, you know, talk in news channels and podcasts and whatnot lately. And it's because a police officer pulled out a taser, or not a taser, a gun, thought it was a taser. And she basically said, you know, come back. He was running away from her. And she's like, come back or I'll shoot with a taser. Like taser,
yeah,
taser, taser.
Taser, 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 yeah.
And then she basically shot him. And
yes,
she was like, oh, explicit. Yeah. Oh, whatever, blank. I just shot a man. And so when I looked at it, the first thing I thought of was, oh, what the hell? Training. Give the person more training and she'll be better. But then I looked at the situation and what the differences were between tasers and guns. And that's what made me go like, what the hell, man? Yeah. Like,
it's, also, it's look at the officer's
history.
Look at her record. I mean, right. She, despite the fact that she had another incident in like 2019 about something along the lines of her like covering for another officer killing someone, or I don't know, but she was involved in something else. Mm-hmm. And come on, she Kim Potter, she was on the force for 26 years. I mean, you think that if you're an officer of 26 years and you can't tell between a taser and your firearm,
not just any firearm.
Yeah,
a
Glock.
It's a Glock.
It was a Glock. It's a heavy Glock.
It's like a pound or something, bro. It's
2 pounds.
Heavy
a Glock. A Glock is 2 pounds, and I think a taser is 18 ounces,
it's like
or 8 ounces.
Yeah, and also it's in the left holster as opposed to the right holster where a gun's placed. Yes.
And she had been doing that. She had been doing that for
26 years.
years.
Yeah.
Lock her up. Throw away the key. Don't want to hear from her again.
Yeah,
I disagree.
I mean, I have one thing that I saw as a trend between two different cases that are gaining attention: Dante Wright and George Floyd. Derek Chauvin, that guy who kneeled on George Floyd for 9 minutes, 20 seconds, was also, like Will said about Kim Potter, had a history of these actions that have been like illegal, excessive force, etc. These things, there's a pattern to these people. And so I think it's a fault of our police departments across America for not identifying that pattern. It will continue to be a problem
until you take action
against those.
The problem are the police unions.
Okay.
And this is coming from a big union guy, eh? Like, I'm a big union guy. Like, but police unions are way too powerful. And I don't know if you watch the Chris Cuomo interview. With the Adam Toledo case hit specifically hard for me. And it hits, you know, the Dante Wright case. I mean, all of these cases hit hard, but right. I mean, I can say Dante Wright hit harder than Adam. Like, it's wrong that I even have to discuss which one hit harder, because one had a 3-year-old in the backseat and the other one was a 13-year-old, a kid. And I just want to say, who was it on Fox News? Sean Hannity called him a 13-year-old man. That's not a man. That's a kid. That's a boy. That's a little kid. And so the head of the police union, Chicago's police union, went on CNN and was basically saying that the kid was asking for it. That the kid was asking for it because he was in a gang. The kid was asking for it because he was running away. The kid was asking for it because he had a fresh tattoo that signified that he was part of a gang initiation. The kid was asking for it because he put his hands in the air. The kid was asking for it because the officer only had 0.8 seconds to distinguish. And this, I found this as the dumbest argument, because his excuse was, well, the officer only had 0.8 seconds between the time that his hands were by his side and the time that his hand went up to tell whether Adam Toledo had a gun or had dropped the gun. And I was like, okay, so he in 0.8 seconds made the decision to take one shot, which goes against police protocol, by the way. When someone is a threat to you, you empty your clip. Or he said you double tap and reevaluate, and no one's going to double tap and reevaluate as a police officer. If you have what a Glock, I think, has 14, 16 rounds. Will would probably know about this. I think it's like 14. Well, either way, like police, I guess it depends what police department you're on, has 14 rounds. You empty all 14. It's always 14. You always empty the clip. But basically, Varun, with these guys, the police, the unions always get them their jobs back every single time. As a matter of fact, the head of this union, the police chief, had asked that he been fired, like, while he was a police officer, because most of the police union, like, heads are former police officers. Right. But while he was a police officer, the head of IA had asked that he been put on leave for violating, I don't remember what, for a year. The police, two different police chiefs, asked that he be fired. The new internal investigation, again, individual, asked that he be suspended for 2 years, if I'm not mistaken. So within 4 years, or within his whole police career, he had been asked essentially to be fired like 4 or 5 different times. And I heard a political commentator give a perfect, like, saying to what policing is in America. In policing in the United States, you fail forwards. The more you mess up, the higher up you go. The more brutal you are, the higher up you go. I don't know if you saw too, there was like a police raid where they threw in a flashbang and like burnt off half a baby's face in a crib. And it's, again, it's these same people that are saying, oh, all lives matter unless he has a gang tattoo on him. Like, it doesn't make sense. But again, the unions are the problem here, Bruin, because these police chiefs are asking that these people be fired, but the unions are saying that they can't be, or else they're going to strike.
I mean, it makes sense. I think that, you know, we shouldn't support them as much as we do. But beyond that, you talked about the 0.8 seconds that he had for reaction time. I mean, he was telling him to put his arms up.
Exactly.
Like, he should have been, you know, aware of what may have happened. And beyond that, I think that, you know, police training is strongly not talked about, because these people go into high stress scenarios. You know, they do. Okay, I understand that. But we're supposed to be training them for these high stress scenarios. We don't give them enough training for them to be able to do that. And beyond that, emotional stress response scenarios. Some people, like there was one person who was shot. I forget his name. I should be remembering this, but it was an old man, I believe. And he actually was saying, I can't handle myself, or something along those lines. I can't handle my mental state right now. I am going through a serious mental condition. Help me. And they didn't know how to respond. I mean, it's hard when you have people who are not trained for as much as, for example, a doctor is. Both of those professions, doctors and police officers, have a person's life in their hands every single minute of their working day. One of them gets what? 10 years, residency, training, education. Police officers get what?
Six months,
right? It's honestly, it's really the system's fault for not giving them enough training and help to be able to handle these scenarios. And sure, we have some outliers like Kim Potter and Derek Chauvin who had a history of aggression. They should have been fired. But some people are just people who do not have enough training and can't go into these places. We need more of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the thing with Potter too was, it's not just the more training, Varun. It's the fact that police officers, if you ever walk up and talk to a police officer, there's one thing that they're always going to be doing. It's always going to be this. It's always this shit. It's always right here in their waistband, always going for the right side. Whenever you're having a conversation with them, always the whole time you're talking to them, they're just fiddling with their gun. It's like they're trigger happy. And yes, I am generalizing the police force. They're trained to have their hand here at all time. And if you're not listening, that thing comes out quicker than like hot bread when it's ready. Yeah. It's just the second you're not listening, it's just out. It's out.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. And you either get on the floor or you get shot. And that's their training. So I believe that Potter did mess up and did pull out the wrong thing, but she's so used to feeling that it felt right. You know how when you lift like 25 pounds for like 2 years, you're like, oh, this isn't 25 pounds anymore. She probably didn't even realize she had a gun in her hand, to be honest. She's probably like, oh, wow, look, I'm holding like a finger gun. She's probably used to that 2 pounds. How many times does she pull it out? Every single day, I can guarantee you, almost every single day, at least once a week. That's too much. That gun first of all, for traffic stops, I don't think that they should have guns. I don't think you need a gun for a traffic stop. I think meter maids, it's like giving a meter maid an AR-15. It's like, oh, you want to watch out for the parking meters, you know, Second Amendment right or whatever. It's dumb. Ooh, it's ridiculous. Scary meter. Yeah, scary parking meters. When they beep, you have to unload a fucking, an AR-15 clip on them.
I mean, but then again, Don Terrett wasn't posing a threat to Kim Potter.
No,
he was like running away.
He was driving away.
And so he was driving away. Yeah. So basically, I mean, he wasn't going to hurt her imminently, and she didn't have any rush to pull out the gun. I mean, it's
she didn't have a reason to pull out a taser either.
Yeah,
let me make that clear.
Exactly. And there was the same thing that happened in front of the Wendy's, I believe, after the George Floyd thing, when the guy was running away and somebody shot at him. And you know, it's the same thing. Like, you don't have to use force in that scenario. It's not a violent action running away. But go ahead if you wanted to add anything in here, Will.
I find it most unsettling when I hear a lot of people talking about it's often the same crowd that says defund the police that also says the police need more training. And mm-hmm. I don't think mm-hmm. that they realize that the police isn't just going to be like, oh, okay, we're going to give you a year's worth of training, and also we're not going to have any more money. Like, you're not going to pull this training out of your ass. Like,
absolutely.
You either fund them more, but you mandate that the funding be directed towards training and not military riot gear, or you don't fund them at all and more innocent black kids get shot. Like, what do you want to happen? Like,
well, I'm glad you brought that up, because defunding the police for a lot of people like me and Damien is not like taking money out. It's putting money to different places. For example, taking it out of, like you said, military gear and putting it into places like community activism, community engagement, and into training.
What is community activism? What is that?
As in like going out, and here's what we do in Forsyth County. I believe we do it here. Police officers go out to their communities and they talk to low-income people. And they tell them about opportunities to grow and what to avoid, what not to avoid. Same thing happens in Fonnie Willis's Fulton County, I believe. It's like helping those who need the most help. But the bigger thing is like training. And I think money needs to go towards training, but not from our funds, from police funds going towards like weapons and whatever. Like, it needs to go towards training from there. Yeah. That's what it's more about, you know, reappropriating funds.
It's more about defunding the police. It's what it's called. It's called defunding the police. That's what the term is for. That's like, people do not understand that defunding the police and reallocating funds are the same thing.
Right, exactly.
A year later, and I still refer to it as reallocating funds.
Here's one thing.
It's a misleading.
No, it is.
Dude, Democrats it's very have a really
it's like
hard
ACAB
time.
ACAB
means what it means.
No, Democrats. Here's what it is. ACAB.
Well, you could say ACAB. You could say all cops are bastards, or you could say all cops participate in a bastardized system that perpetuates. Right. Which yada yada yada, but that doesn't look right. But that doesn't. That's not me agreeing with you. That's me. Anyway,
yeah,
you can say that, but it's simple. It's catchy. Defund the police, not reallocate police funds, so that innocent black kids don't get shot. That doesn't roll off the tongue, but still, you need to. Like, it sounds stupid, but a much better catchphrase would be "fix the police" or "fix the police system," not defund it. Fix it, because fixing is, you know, when you go to fix a car, you don't take out the steering wheel. You don't do that. That's not going to make, like, the car crashes or the car doesn't start. You're not going to be like, oh, well, I'm going to take off the steering wheel. Maybe that was.
Yeah, but that's not what defund the police means.
Yeah, I heard some Democratic commentators talking about this.
Defund the police would mean take out the 40-pound weights that you have in the back of the race car so that you can make it quicker and replace it with a carbon fiber hood so that there's less weight on the car. That's what defund the police means.
Right, but that's not what it's saying.
It's not because
it doesn't sound right. It doesn't
sound right. I
understand,
because Democrats have a really hard time naming things like they're supposed to be named. Like, ACAB, I thought it was all cops are bad in, like, January last year. Like, I had no, the regular person does not have an idea about what these terms actually mean. We may, because we're political commentators and people who know what we're talking about, but regular people don't have an idea. And that's why Democrats get flack for terms like that. So I think it's terrible what they're doing to name it, because some people actually believe that all cops are bad. Some believe we have to defund the police and take money away from the police. I don't think so, but these terms are used in those ways. And so I think Democrats have to make their messaging stick to the point instead of these weird, vague terms that don't mean what they're actually supposed to mean.
Exactly.
But I agree with you, Will, on that.
I agree with the bad naming. I agree with the message behind all of the bad names, though. I agree behind the true idea.
I'm not agreeing with that. I'm just saying, like, you're bringing along a lot of the wrong crowd, if you know what I mean. Like,
I understand. Like,
anarchists.
I understand.
I'm trying to find, like, the politically correct way to. Yeah, I'm anarchist. That'd be a stretch. But, like, when you say defund the police, police, or I've heard even abolish the police, and that's just
abolish the police.
That's
is a different thing.
That actually means
that is.
The
yeah, that actually. Yeah.
That actually
but I've heard.
Things.
I've heard. You know. But, like, you know, when you don't have, like. Also, with these groups, there's not really leaders. And if there are, they're
not. If you ask
they're
the right,
sitting behind. Well,
if you ask the right, they're like all. Did you hear about the thing with the co-founder of Black Lives Matter? That's so weird, because you want to know why she's the co-founder, right?
No,
why?
Because in 2013, she started the hashtag Black Lives Matter.
Oh.
But what were you saying, Will? Yeah, go ahead. That's why she's considered a co-founder by Fox News.
By default. But, I mean, still, how did she get her money? That's a different conversation.
She was sold books.
Time that, well, good for her.
Exactly.
But, like, you know, a lot of organizations like, and this was the issue with the, or not issue, but this was what made people who disagreed with the Black Lives Matter movement, it basically made them look like they were racist or just an asshole or something like that. Like, you know, Black Lives Matter. Duh. Like, Black Lives Matter, of course they do. But Black Lives Matter, the movement is about, it's not, yes, it's about Black Lives, but it's not about Black Lives where the most Black lives are being affected. Like, if Black Lives Matter was, and this is a lot of Republican standpoints, is they like to go, if Black Lives Matter, why wasn't money donated to communities or Why don't they, a lot of it was.
Most of their donations are actually donated to like educating African American
litigation.
As opposed to like the police brutality stuff. But I get what you're saying. Like, but the like, right, you know, strawmans it a lot.
Right, but they they only focus like, you know, if they really care about Black Lives Matter, why don't they raise money for Black communities and like because if you like, honestly, from a business capitalist standpoint, God, what they were doing was working, and it was working so well. They were pandering to so many, like, oh, I feel sorry, like the white guilt people that they ended up donating, and they got so much money. They got so much money, and what they were able to do with the money, I don't know exactly where they donated it to. I'm sure not all of it went to Black communities. I know that they used the Act Blue Charities, which is a different conversation that we've had before, I think. But, you know, that, I mean, that was just a brokerage service. But, like, it makes you seem like you're an ass for not supporting it. Like, no, I don't support Black Lives Matter. You don't think Black Lives Matter? Well, obviously they matter. Well, you just said you don't. You see where I'm going with this. Like,
yeah, I get with what you're saying. I think Black Lives Matter is the least contentious of all the. I feel like the only thing that's a problem is because like people are like, well, like let's get semantical about it. Don't all lives matter?
Yeah, my thing is like, how do you disagree with Black Lives Matter?
Well, all lives matter was just a racist
response to Black Lives Matter.
Exactly.
That's exactly what it was because we all know all lives matter. We're not going to disagree with that. It's the fact that like it's phrased in a way that basically contradicts the Black Lives Matter. It doesn't say it explicitly, but implicitly it does.
Well, all lives matter people Jesus Christ. All lives matter people never say Black Lives Matter. They always say BLM. they always go BLM. Like, I don't support BLM.
And here's the interesting thing. I saw another case this, I guess, last week with Karen Nazario. This man was basically, I mean, it happened last year, but it was released last week, the footage of it. Mm-hmm. And he was an army officer. I don't know if you guys know, a Black army officer who was stopped at the middle of the road because he was speeding or something. And so, I don't know, it was a license plate, actually. Didn't have license plate on the back of his car. And he had it posted up to the window in the back of his car because it was a new car and he had it posted up license plate. And
is so the lieutenant?
Lieutenant. I think it was lieutenant, I believe.
Okay.
He got pulled over, the black one. The Latino black one. Yeah, Latino black one, exactly. And so he was pulled over, Karen Nazario, and he's actually a nephew, I believe, of another Black man who was killed by police brutality. I'm forgetting his name now. There has been so many, but this guy was pulled over, and there was two police officers who came out, and they basically pointed a gun to him, and they're like, get out of the car. And he's like, what am I being arrested or taken out of the car for? And they couldn't tell him. They were like, get out, or we'll take away, you know, they were like, we'll ruin your career in the military.
That was afterwards.
We'll do this and that.
That was afterwards? Yeah, so basically what they were, one officer was yelling at him, telling him to put his hands out of the window, right? And he had a seatbelt on. So one officer was telling him to put his hands out of the window, and then one officer was telling him to take his seatbelt or to get out of the car. And then the other one was kept yelling at him to keep his hands out of the window. And so like to get out of the car, first of all, he had to reach into the car and open the door and then take off his seatbelt. And if he reached to take off his seatbelt, I can guarantee you we would not be saying he was arrested. We would be saying Black man shot and killed. And then on top of that, he had a legal pistol in his vehicle because he is a lieutenant. So imagine how that story would have looked. You know, the fact that he had a pistol in his car and then he reached for the police thought he was reaching for the pistol that he had in his car. Either way, he had a seatbelt on. One officer was telling him to keep his hands out the window. The other one was telling him to get out of the car. And then the officer goes, you're fixing to ride the lightning, son, which means that he was going to tase him. And then he's like, I'm a veteran. You guys are treating me bad. And the other officer was like, I'm also a veteran. I don't care. And then he says, I'm scared to get out of the car. The officer goes, you should be scared. Now get out of the car. And so he just keeps going back and forth. And then they open his door. And then he's like, can you please take off my seatbelt so I can get out of the car? And then the officer, one officer was really casual about it and like was kind of calm. The young one, because I mean, it's usually the young police officers that are more calm because they haven't been indoctrinated into like the, you know, the police system. But
the old one was so brutal.
Yeah.
I was having a hard time.
The young one was like going to reach over and take off his seatbelt.
Right.
And then the old one was like, don't reach in there. And I was like, what the hell? Like,
and when he was basically, when he was, what was it? Pepper sprayed?
Yeah.
He couldn't reach his seatbelt. He physically could not go and move his hand towards that place. And he was saying, can you guys take off my seatbelt so I can get out of the car? And they were like, no, do it yourself. And I was like, seriously? Yeah. Like, this man is pepper sprayed. He can't really do anything right now. He's incapacitated. And you're telling him to do it himself.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, it made me frustrated how brutal they were being for literally no reason. The man was in military uniform, like wearing his camouflage or whatever uniform. And he was like being treated this way. And it was like, it just made me understand that no matter what kind of a position that you have in the military or the government, you're still going to be treated the exact same way by these police officers who really don't give a crap. They don't give a damn. Yeah. It's really for them about checking that checklist off and really fitting that mold of a quote unquote good police officer. We talked about this last time, Damien. Being a good police officer really for a lot of these people means being brutal. And being like that one guy was to Karen Nazario. I actually implore you guys, if you guys have the time, go out and watch the video of what happened. He had his phone on his steering wheel and was recording the entire thing. Watch the video and tell me what you guys think. Mm-hmm. Okay, because yeah. It was jarring. And so was the one of Adam Toledo, because Adam Toledo's video, I didn't watch it. And the reason why is because I saw a couple of articles and they were saying, basically, if you're faint of heart, if you really can't deal with this, envision it, but don't watch it.
Yeah, it was
because
bad.
It is really, really bad. A 13-year-old being killed in an alleyway with his hands up. Envision that. I wouldn't recommend to watch it unless you have like really strong heart and mind.
Yeah, it was bad. And then the worst thing about it was the fact that he threw the gun. And then the other thing is like, man, the union guy pissed me off so much. I wanted to just punch my monitor, because the union guy was basically like, we only shot him once. You got to be proud of us. We showed restraint. We only shot him one time. We could have shot him 13 more times.
Dude, he's dead, so dude.
Yeah.
What does it change?
No. But he was proud of it. He was like, Chris, Cuomo, listen to me. We only shot the boy once. It's kind of his fault for dying because he's 13. You know, I thought he could take. I mean, the boy, you know, I could have taken another three shots. If you shoot me three times in the chest, Chris, I'm going to be okay. I'll walk it off. Like, that's literally how the guy was talking. It was so, and he was basically like, we could have murdered him more. So you should be proud of us for only murdering him a little bit. We only kind of like committed like half murder. And then the funny thing was, well, not funny, but like the commentator, it was funny because of the take that another political commentator had on it was the union guy was really proud of his police officer because after he shot him, which I can guarantee you was half a mistake because of the fact that he only shot him once, which goes against like every aspect of police protocol. Apparently police protocol is to shoot him twice and then reevaluate and then shoot. Most police protocol in training is emptying a clip, mag dumping. I'm using those terms interchangeably. Doesn't matter. If you want to get mad at me, get mad at me. But mags and clips, who cares? Like, who really cares? But either way, mag dumping is like the police protocol. So the guy's like, afterwards, he immediately rendered him aid. So you should be proud of my police department because after we murdered this boy, we tried to unmurder him immediately.
Here, bro, I pushed you down the stairs. You want a wheelchair?
Yeah, exactly. Let me get you a wheelchair so I can do it again.
Oh my God.
That's basically what he was saying. So the thing was, I mean, again, his first reaction was to shoot the kid, to shoot the 13-year-old in 0.8 seconds. I don't understand why this guy mentions the 0.8 seconds so many times. He's like, he only had 0.8 seconds to make a decision. But so in 0.8 seconds, he decided to take someone's life. Like, that's the decision.
But also, I mean, their job is to make those decisions.
I know.
Mean, their whole job is to be in those scenarios and to make the right call.
Exactly. And no, and then
and so, like, I understand that I saw somebody's story on Instagram that police officers are held to a higher standard than civilians. They should be held to a higher standard. Exactly. Because they're in these jobs just to save somebody's life and really to make those hard decisions. That's their entire responsibility. If they don't follow it through, they should be prosecuted. There shouldn't be any qualified immunities because they have training for these things. They're not civilians. They're protectors of civilians. So it just makes me a little bit mad.
And then the other problem is we never address the reason that these We never addressed the reason why Toledo was in a gang. What socioeconomic conditions led a 13-year-old boy to have a tattoo and a firearm on him? But let's not talk about that, because again, Republican conservative, whatever you want, is the fact that, well, he made those life decisions. Yes, the 13-year-old boy obviously was born and wanted to be a gang member. It totally wasn't the socioeconomic conditions that he grew up in that led him.
We keep bringing it up on previous podcasts, the idea that when black people don't have fathers and their fathers are like sent to jail or killed in certain incidents, they don't have a family to go to. And their only family is gangs. And that's why so much gang activity occurs in these communities. It's because we have the fathers being taken away for crimes, petty crimes, you know, nonviolent crimes, and they're left destitute in these urban inner cities. And so part of it really, talking about economic African-American households, part of the economic prosperity of African-Americans is stopping, you know, jail time for nonviolent crimes. Because think about it. When you have a person getting prosecuted for example, a weed crime, like possession of weed in Georgia or other places that marijuana in places like Georgia, they're basically blacklisted from jobs, from, for example, voting, from all the facilities of regular people. They're not allowed to return to common regular life. And because of that, their whole economic prospects are ruined. And what do their kids end up doing? Going to gangs for family and things like that. They're all interconnected. You can't just say it's economic prosperity for black people. It's also, you know, better policing. And these things tie back to one another in ways that we can't even comprehend. Exactly. And so it's important to mention these things. Refuse to comprehend. Exactly.
Your take, Will? That concludes the hour segment of this podcast. To listen to or watch the remainder of this episode, head over to polititeen.com and click the Watch tab in the top right. Beyond that, thank you for listening to another episode of Polititeen.